as well. Is also in another meeting, but he's rejoining, Honorable Mashirat rejoining us. Honorable Premier, to you, Mr. Tom, to you and your team, you can respond to the questions. If possible, try and do it in 30 minutes.
Things like the compensation budget of the 4-4 came within budget and this last financial year for the first time in 2007. So since 2007, we've always overspending on its compensation every year, and now it's in a red. The accruals meaning unpaid invoices, and the both, the situation has also improved. The accruals are down by 42%. That's the largest percentage improvement in accruals of any province in the country. So that's just an example of some of the things. However, and this is the second thing. The reality is that the systemic problems, which have as their foundation the issue of the skills and the competence of the people, which is something that I think all the members of the country is a concern. And I think that was exactly the logic behind Cabinet's decision. Cabinet said, look, we can see that the things that triggered the intervention, I emphasize that word triggered, which was the financial meltdown, has been arrested. We can see that. However, because there are certain critical things that still need to be done in order to make sure that we get to the point where we can say that people can walk on their own, let's look at a transition period. And by the way, it's important to signal the transition period because on a release of 20 months, actually it's now more than 22 months. We're coming up to 2 years. And I think everybody can agree with me that it can't last forever. At some point you've got to do that. So I think Cabinet was signaling that to say that on the one hand, there's indications that the trigger points have been arrested, but on the other hand, there's sustainability issues. And so I think as the presentation has tried to show, and I think Mr. John is going to outline now, the focus over the next 6 months is about dealing with those sustainability issues. So we've got a balance between saying, yes, there are problems, and those problems need to be addressed. And on the other hand, the fact that we do need to, at some point, signal the fact that the convention is there. But it's not a thing that feels like it would go on forever. So it's about the confidence and about whether or not and how well we work to make sure that the projects that Mr. Job is running are actually going to be successful because that's the key. So, What we're saying is, let's commit ourselves to the timeline. Let NCOP apply its mind to the recommendation of Cabinet, because ultimately it's your decision about the actual ending, your constitutional prerogative, if you like. Cabinet has made this recommendation in recognition of the need to have these projects running for sustainability purposes. And from our side, that's what we wanted to say in terms of supporting the approach to the current decision. But yes, it was a cabinet decision to say, let's signal something, but let's say there must be a transition and let's get to deal with it. That's what we want to say.
Mr. Song, carry on.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, Chairperson, the point that the intervention is approaching the recommendation of the cabinet, which was in the timeline. Right? We have actually said, let us look at what are these areas. I call them systemic, people they call them systemic, but I define that to me. What are these areas that you still need to strengthen the people issues? Because people issues, they can be improved. And those also processes, right, which are not in place, they can be a problem, especially when the procurement process is not yet. Right. Others, they can be the technology. I mean, there is the issue about the logins. If you talk health, there's the issue about the peers system, right, for the revenue. We are saying, though, if those areas or those issues, those problems that are suffering in those areas can be addressed, right, and what are those areas? We have identified those five areas. we say if those five areas could be addressed, we do believe that the recovery that has happened in the last 2 years in the Bopo, it will be sustainable. Now, based on that 6 months that has been put by cabinet, we are responding to say how those five areas should be addressed. I hope that for that point perhaps the difference between myself and the premier, because premier is aware of that 6 months. He knows that we're working towards that 6 months, and that is his understanding also, right, that we are working towards that 6 months. Right. Now, I do want just to make that point about us having been put under pressure, but I want to correct that I don't have that pressure.
You see, it's the first time since our first engagement with the Popo that we get the time factor, when do we want to end? It's very crucial. What do you do when the recovery of a patient goes in phases until it goes home? The same principle. Luckily, the Minister of Finance is a qualified pharmacist, so he knows the process.
Now, the second point is the one that was said. What about officials who are under DC? But the point there, Chairperson, is that as the intervention team, what we want to be able to do is not to fire all the 6-7 who are in the Popo. That is not what we want to do, otherwise there will be no government. But what we are attempting to do is actually to be able to win a number of them over so that they can actually participate in the recovery. Hence, you'll find that the actual implementation is being done by the officials themselves. Right? It's not a situation where we say themselves they are not involved. Right? It's important that they actually participate. And some of them, they put the add value in the process of turning that up. So I do want to make this point that really our objective is actually to see how we actually win the majority of officials to support the turning around. Now, the blacklisting, when it comes to business people who have been found to be doing wrong acts in government, we do have a blacklisting process. You'll find that the supply chain unit in the center works closely with there is a new unit in the National Treasury called the CPO, the Central Procurement Officer, with Chief Procurement Officer. That unit is the unit that does the blacklisting of the private companies. The unit within the treasury, for the unit in the treasury, which works with them closely. I mean, examples there, it would be in transport, to know about what happened with the convoy. In that instance, you have got those mechanisms that have actually been put in place to activate against the private companies that have actually been found to be transgressing or involved in the corrupt activity, right? So there we do have a process that is. Now, you know, Mr. Joseph, Honorable Mr. Joseph, I hear the calling about how do we put, why don't we put the diagnosis, the thing that you said, the signal is wrong, and compare that with the recovery, and what is remaining. It may not be that straightforward, but some of these things are qualitative. Others, yes, are quantitative. We can be able to say how many HODs have been appointed. Right? When we came in, there were no HODs, and today there is an HOD. Quantitative like that, we can do that. But it may be difficult because we do say in the diagnosis that we have found that there are these hidden business relationships that exist among people, officials, and people within government. Now, it may be very difficult to say how then have you managed to uncover all those hidden relationships. But the point here now is that we have actually put in place.
Right.
We have actually put in place what is it that we say in the remaining 6 months. And in fact, even in the last 2 years,
right,
in the last 20 months, what is it that has been done? The department, the administrator will, in those breakaways,
right,
be giving the details of what exactly has been. Now, so that will be clear. And what will be done in the next 6 months, and it is also clear when actually outlining those are the things that will be done in the next 6 months. Now, it may be tricky to say, but how do you know that the officials that we have recruited themselves, they are fit for those positions? Of course, it will be difficult because what we do there, right, the test of hiring themselves, it would be the skills, it would be the CV, right, and against whatever criteria. If they pass that criteria and then they appoint them, right. But of course, it's going to be important that the performance measurement of those officials that have been appointed, it needs to be checked out. Honorable, yes, it's true that the recovery financial may be easier than the other recovery for systemic. Systemic, by its nature, it means you must address people, and that process is a long process. You must put. It may also mean that you replace the system, I'm talking about technology, right? And that is not straightforward, right? It will still be something. I mean, if you go to health, I will still make this example about health, about the fact that the health information in hospitals, right, is a difficult. And that is something that we do need to work closely between ourselves. In fact, there are investigations that are happening to look at elsewhere in other provinces, how is the system working, whether they should not move into that. And that is something that is not a straightforward thing. Because at the end of the day, the hospitals, even if you are to change that system, they must still operate. It's not a, yes, that part is a part which is not a straightforward, but it's a part that we are dealing with. If you look at the sustainability or the equity, you see, where we talk about record management, we do make that point that is a systemic problem and it will take time. And even within this 6 months, we shall initiate to make sure that those things are done. And it does not mean that we shall complete it within that 6 months. Other points, I'll ask the colleagues that deal with them.
Mr. Tom, just before you do that, just to recap, please name again the five critical areas pick up three, but you say there's five.
Yeah, there are five vertical areas.
It's for our team to make to capture it in the document.
In the next 6 months, the things that we want to initiate to make sure that they are done, and we believe if they are done, they will make a huge impact, right? Is the infrastructure delivered? And we say those things that were listed there, they must be done. The second one, it will be a competitive procurement. It needs to be done, and those things listed there, we say they must be done. The other one is the asset and management. Asset and what? The fourth one is the data and the record management. If we do all those things that are there. And the last one is the compliance and the enforcement. But you will see when we say CFO offices, CFO offices would need people have to do those things. It is imperative that you must deal with the CFO offices. If you go to help, you will do the record management. You must deal with the district. But it does not move away from the white office. Administrators, don't want to just forget on the questions that we're asking.
As you indicated, we're going to deal with the other departments individually. Can we take it then? Because the ACTT is sitting there, and they've got their time frames to do their work and leave again. That we deal with those individual questions for individual departments when they appear before us. On the Premier MEC, any additions?
No,
fine. You're fine. Yes, so you're delegated.
thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, honorable member. I think I'm just going to address this. The first one is the RAL and GAL board challenge. Yes, if I'm not mistaken, I think by now the RAL and GAL board has been dissolved. They both have been dissolved, I think, the last week. And we are actually restructuring them. We want to come with specifications of people that are supposed to be appointed on those boards. People who understand the both industries. So that we should not just appoint people who are going to talk, to just talk politics in those boards. We don't need politicians there. Politics, we can talk politics in the politicians. So we'll be appointing people who are ethical, or who understands the process is on, will be advertising very. Two, I think the issue of suspended officials and the hearing, Mr. Tom has responded to that. But this is the issue that the first week, in fact the second week after I was appointed, we had a meeting with the ministerial task team on intervention, and they raised challenges about the investigations that have been completed, and because of the previous administration, they were unable to charge. And they requested us to assist them in ensuring that we facilitate the charging of all. And I immediately assured them that we'll start charging them next week. That's next week, and started doing that. As to whether we named and shamed them, we can't shame them, but naming them would be, we meant. I mean, you can't shame them before they are convicted. But we did say those people that were threatening, they've been in the media and on record talking about the two HODs who were, what you call them, the HA people, I think, who have been talking about them. And then, yes, I would want to create some form of division or a divisive line between the administrators and the current administration in Liverpool. I think we're working well, very well, we're working together very well. And the statement that all that is happening in that process is done by administrators, it cannot be correct. We're doing all those things together. Two is the question of politicians imposing their will on the administrator. I think Mr. Tom has responded to that one. But safe to say that if I was a politician in the opposition camp, I would laugh to see the intervention. The administration, Section 100B remaining as it until April next year, for obvious reasons. So I wouldn't want us to go that direction and try to politicize. Let's understand it that the Tom is not a politician, and he's doing his job to his ability and capacity as a professional person. I don't think there is any politician who can do it over him, in fact, we are being advised by him. The issue of the hospitals, that question is that the boilers that are not functional. I must confirm that we recently procured 38 boilers in 1904. We bought new boilers in 1904 at the tune of about 88 million rand. And all those boilers are up and running, they are waiting. Remember, the boilers are the nerves. So if it is not operational, it means the theater, because they are using steam from the boilers. So the problems that we're encountering currently with the boilers in hospitals is not the boilers themselves. It's the kind of coal that is being delivered to the hospital. We have discovered that the previous administration has procured a contract with a company that is actually delivering the type of coal that is not met. And that matter, the MEC is on top of it. We are addressing that issue. Very soon, we'll be announcing something about it. But there's an investigation team who are conducting tests and all those things. I think we'll be dealing, we'll be announcing something very soon about this. But the issue is no longer about that. We are convinced that it's about the type of food that we're looking for. I think that's it. That's all that I wanted to respond to.
Honorable Premier, Mr. Tong, MEC, your team, HUD, DG, thank you, Mr. Sisi. Yeah, there's a new breeze. I can see it. The Afrikaans have flung him in Lion. Yeah. And it's quite a relief. But we must stay hands on. And that's one of the mottos of the Minister of Finance. To stay hands on in our provinces. Do what you do and must do and do it at the best of your ability. And tell yourself, I want to be the best. It is a job. Even if you are sweeping the streets, you are the best sweeper. And then be promoted. It's a thing about ethics. The ethics of work. Do I come an hour or 45 minutes earlier to office and work 45 minutes later in the day? And go home with a clean desk or nearly a clean desk. And see that issues are addressed. And when we do our constituents work, picking up issues, phone the MEC straight away. That number is available. And see that the matters are attended to. Wachtat, it's not so difficult. Visit your hospitals and clinics at least once a quarter. And phone the MEC if there's an issue. Not like in Hopewood, where the MEC didn't know what's happening in Hopewood Hospital, but that member of parliament didn't visit the hospital. And that's the first question I ask. Who's deployed there? Because you're supposed to do your work and attend to the people. We say we are people's parliament, listening to the people and addressing the issues. So thank you very much for your input, Honourable Premier. That we take best practices from what is happening in Limpopo and roll it out to the rest of the 9 provinces. General Dramat and your team, can we just make some space here that they move in here? You've got equipment there. See, you've got. And we're going to give you, as indicated on the program, your hour, but if you can do it in lesser, fantastic.
Thank you. the head of UDTI, but in my capacity as chairperson of the anti-corruption committee. The delegation today is from the district of Kopwana, acting as of standards and compliance office, CSA, the system of the Ms. Bandieri is from the Oxford Council General, and Brigitte Mundi is with the DTCI for the investigation. The acting accountant general, Mr. Scott, you must be joining us shortly. Chairperson of the on the previous, it's pretty much the same report with additional detail that was requested when we appeared before. The ACTG on 22 July 2010, the President announced the establishment of the anti-corruption task force to expedite the investigation and prosecution of corruption cases. I want to emphasize that it was on criminal cases. The purpose of the ACT is to provide for better coordination of governmental functions within the JSPS cluster with the aim of reducing corruption in South Africa, to expedite the effective investigation and prosecution of priority corruption cases, and work together with other government departments and initiatives to strengthen government systems, reduce risk and prevent incidents of corruption. The principal member institutions are the DPCI, or Police Service, the National Prosecuting Authority, which includes the AFU, the Special Investigation Unit, and six member institutions are the Office of the Accountant General, the South African Revenue Service, Financial Intelligence Center, Department of Public Affairs and Administration. In terms of the reformable intervention, Madam Chair, the Ministry of Finance played a lead role to implement a national intervention in reformable. In terms of Section 101D, all the ACTC member institutions were requested on 14 December 2011 to render support to the intervention as decided upon by Cabinet. The ACTC institutions effectively implemented their investigation plan in January 2012. Subsequent to this, President signed a proclamation number 21 of 2012, dated 23rd March 2012. In respect of the Section 100 intervention in the FOCO. The SIU then conducted conflict of interest analysis based on the data provided by National Treasury on the basic accounting system and platform. They identified IRS departments. Based on the National Treasury results of risk assessment, the following departments were identified as priority areas for the ACTG investigation. That is the Department of Education, Transport and Roads Agency of the FOCO, Department of Health, Department of Public Works, Provincial Treasury. The forensic investigation facilitated by National Treasury revealed that all the five departments, there were incidents of irregularities, fraud and corruption, and conflict of interest. In terms of the National Treasury forensic report, National Treasury developed 20 set of forensic reports to co-source firms, that is Komodo Forensic and Investigators Accounting, as well as PricewaterhouseCoopers Incorporated. As at the end of July 2012, the reports were referred to the South African Police Service for criminal investigation first, before they could be considered for the disciplinary process. Out of these reports, 39 allegations, which includes inquiring a criminal case document for opened by the staff under the anti-corruption task force, of which 30 were closed, they were not prosecuted by the prosecution team, but further referred for external discipline because of non-compliance and irregularities identified. 30 are still under criminal investigation, and 30 are in court. In terms of the disciplinary cases, 22 forensic investigation reports have been issued to facilitate disciplinary proceedings by the DPSA, and to date, two heads of department have been suspended, and 45 officials across the department have been charged. There's a list of the reports checked. This is the summary of the disciplinary cases of fraud and corruption. In terms of the National Treasury report, the following disciplinary cases are based only on 9 reports thus far. They are the departments, health and social development, 13 cases, 1 finalized, 12 in progress, provincial treasury, there weren't any. Education, there was 12, and 12 was still in progress. Public works, 10, was still in progress. The Office of Government, the Human Settlement and Traditional Affairs, there's 12, and 12 are in progress. Just to note that this was not separate, and it was not part of the Section 100 investigation. Just to explain that in terms of answering the question of the progress, what it means, this relates to officials already charged and hearing proceedings are in process. More officials will still be charged based on the balance of the 30 forensic reports issued by National Treasury that are excluded by the DPSA. Prevention of the potential bust was a question that was posed before. As a result of the forensic investigation report on National Treasury, certain contracts were terminated and the service providers litigated against the case. The reports were used to defend the state against the litigation initiated by the service providers involved in their irregularities, and thus far there has been 100% success in the civil matters. On conclusion of all these cases, the National Treasury will invoke Section 13 of the regulation issued in terms of the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act 5 of 2000 by submitting the report to the respective heads of department for the restriction of the affected entities. In terms of the criminal case, the National Treasury will seek the order of endorsement as contemplated in terms of Section 39 of the Prevention and Combating of Securities Act of 2004 to register affected entities and parts on the register for tender reforms, not to do any business with the state. Vulnerable interest in the disciplinary crisis management. The official simply resigned before the conclusion of the disciplinary processes. In this instance, at least 10 officials with the Department of Roads and Transport resigned before commencement of the disciplinary proceedings. However, the criminal investigations against them are continued. Just want to emphasize that because I think it was a point of a bit of confusion on this occasion. The National Treasury is going to follow up on all the officials that have resigned if they are not appointed by other national or provincial departments. They'll do this through the provincial administration system, the panel. The challenge is that local government and consultants cannot be detected through the panel. The focal bank irregularity. National Treasury further established in the review order of the focal provincial treasury that out of 10 local PMG accounts, 6 accounts were used to process both credit transfers other electronic bank transfers directly on the SMB online system, without authorization or disbursements on the basic accounting system. The following are affected departments, districts, the Office of the Premier, Department of Education, Department of Public Works, Department of Roads and Transport, Department of Safety and Sport, Department of Agriculture. The investigation by the Office of Accountant General is still in progress to establish if all identified irregular transactions not processed through BAS have been rectified and reported to the BAS to correct financial periods of the affected departments. But in terms of the SIU cases of conflict of interest in the COCO, the following of the disciplinary cases based on the results of the investigation of the SIU proclamation in the five departments in the total. The Department of Health and Social Development is 91 cases, of which 14 are finalized. In progress is 22. 22 have been withdrawn, and the investigation is closed. And referred to the Department for finalization is 9. The Provincial Treasury is 40 cases, 16 finalized, 16 in progress, 8 withdrawn, and none of them were referred. The Department of Education, 92 cases, 7 finalized, 2 in progress, 43 were withdrawn, and 40 were referred to the Department for finalization. Public Works, 49 cases, 3 finalized, 6 in progress, 3 withdrawn, and 37 have been referred to the Department for finalization. Roads and Transport, 30 cases, none of them were finalized, 3 are in progress, 27 were withdrawn. In terms of Madam Chair, 302 cases, 40 that have been finalized, in progress is 49, 103 errors were withdrawn or investigation closed, and 86 in total have been referred to the Department of Finalization. Just to note, Madam Chair, previous an error was made of duplicated one case. Yes, it was in the past reported as 303, but you would note that in fact it's 302. Just again, when we say that it's in progress, it relates to the officials already charged that they're going to proceed on its progress. On the section 100 criminal investigation cases. Just a summary of the cases under the section 100. The Department of Road and Transport, there were 14 cases, 10 of them are in court, it involves 25 accused, and 4 are in progress. Health and Social Development, 5 cases, 2 are in court, it involves 6 accused, and 3 cases are in progress. Department of Education, 5 cases, and the 5 are still in progress. Public Works is 2 cases, 1 is in court, involves 3 accused, and 1 is in progress. There's a total of 26 cases, of which 13 are in court, that involves 34 accused, and 13 are in progress. Just further details of the criminal cases. Last time I did check, we should flight those, and they are now included in the report. There's just some addition that was made there. I will challenge us. The case, Bolivari Cat, there's a case number, that's the on point leg, is what we refer to. He's in court. 5 accused involved, and the remand date is what the honorable member has requested specifically to know, is included there on the 19th to the 29th, as I said. For the point, the ocean site leg is in court, involves 4 accused, has been remanded to the 2nd to the 6th of December. The next one is the Makele Bridge. About 3 accused. And the remand date is the 17th of October. The puzzle. The involves 2 accused, and it's the 17th of October. There's another photo. It involves 1 accused, and it's reported to the 24th of October. This is number of the parcels and the remarded mostly in October chain. So number 9, and then we have the cow, and number 10, it involves 5 hills, and the remarded is the 21st of November. Then we have the civil transport inquiry. Then the investigation is ongoing. So there is no remark challenges, remark up until 14. And L1 has only prosecuted and closed. But Kamala, that one has been closed. Let us check. The Yesa one, that is the molecule that has been withdrawn. The Chepo one, it's about 3 accused, and remarked is the 15th of November. The Tristan one, 3 accused, the remarked is the 15th of November. Then the Polyquonic has 588, that has been closed. The SEO inquiry 112, that has been closed, no crime was detected. The Polyquonic has 165, that one has been closed, there was no crime detected. The Polyquonic has 105, the Rotec Lake. That investigation is ongoing. The ATO inquiry 9. That investigation is ongoing. The Polyquonic has 581. That one is closed. The crime was detected. And all those went up to number 13. And we closed, there was no crime detected. The Polyquonic has 407. That investigation is ongoing at a chain. Then we have a number of those Polyquonic cases where the investigation, first 6 the investigation is still ongoing, and the 7th one has been closed. Chair, then there's the there matter, there's 3 accused and to be monitored through the 31st of October. The Polyquonic has 254, the investigation is ongoing, but possibly it has to be closed. And the Polyquonic has 618, that one has been closed and prosecuted, and the last one has been withdrawn. Madam Chair, we included a list of the cases together with the and it shouldn't be subject, those are accused. There's an error that maybe say but it's not subject, those are accused, you couldn't provide you with subject details. I don't know, Madam Chair, if you would want me to read out those and say that Madam Chair. Location of the private person or an official. But yeah, that concludes our report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any addition from your team? Madam Chair, I've included just the figures on one of the slides. Madam Chair, just want to have a quick look. We can roll it up here, the tender value of the different on the report, based on the report. Those are the tender values attached to those reports. Like bottle, with the tender value of the check, 3 million rand. Okay. one doesn't want to suggest that the entire thing is 3 million rand, those values, that is just the value of the contract, the entire amount of cost will truly be involved. Madam Chair, the page is there. The only thing that we included was the tender value amount. Yeah.
Where?
Reflection in front of you, and I think it's good to work for that. information if you have to give information to whatever government structures are interested in. So I would think that the amount that the accused is charged for, liable for in terms of your investigation should be in brackets, or that should be in brackets, and the accused amount for the accused should be listed. I think that's all I wanted to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mind just asking a few questions, which said that road and transport, 27 cases. Sorry. Okay, fine. Thank you, Chairperson. I was a little bit, I wanted to raise a concern on page, maybe last section, that on page 7 of the presentation, in particular, roads and transport, 27 cases which have been withdrawn. Maybe if we can get flesh of that one, maybe that's it. And then also, a clarity on that term. You see, in terms of page 6 and also page 7 about the bars, I believe that it is possible. It might be there was an asymmetry between the link between the people inside bank and outside bank. What is the status quo about those? What is any investigation in the bank itself? Because a lot of people that are saying technology, no, there are people that are punching. It can work automatically. It can. Because if there was the atrocities, it's supposed to be detected from the bank itself. So what is the bank in that regard? What was it? Any investigation against the bank itself? Because you might rectify the system, but only to find that the people concerned are still there in large within the bank itself. Then what else I wanted to do just to this few. The last one is this, or let me leave it this one. I wanted to ask something about the issue of forensic, cohort of forensic investigation, accounting, and whatever. Let me leave it that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The report on page 5, then there is a sentence that says more officials will still be charged based on the balance of the 13 forensic reports issued by National Treasury. I'm trying to read that sentence in relation to page 7, where we thought we knew about a problem relating to 303 or 302 now. What is the interpretation of that sentence? Are we still going to get more than the 303 that are going to be charged? The second question is, on page 5, we talk about the several disciplinary cases of fraud and corruption. And then on page 7, we talk about the cases of conflict of interest. And then on page 8, we talk about criminal investigation cases. All of them are separate. I just need to be helped how we differentiate them. Because I thought that the conflict of interest leads to corruption, and then fraud and corruption is criminal cases, of course. I just need to be helped how to interpret the three blocks, how we have actually separated these numbers. And then the last question, Chair, is because I believe that if the work that is in here is concluded, then it will bring certainty on the men and women that are in the department, which is supposed to actually carry the administration of Limpopo forward in a more cleaner way. When is this process is going to be completed? If ever there is any possible estimate. Because as far as I'm concerned, the completion of this is key to create certainty in the administration and know that we have got correct men and women in the administration. Thank you very much.
Yeah, lastly, from my side, I think if you can assist us to elaborate on cases withdrawn, investigation closed, which is about 103 cases. Can you elaborate on those cases on that basis? And also cases that are referred to the Department of Organization, what does that mean?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will respond to all the questions that the colleagues will assist. Perhaps to respond to the clarity on the three different sets of reports, that the SIU had a transformation and they did a desktop analysis. Hence the conflict of interest cases, the 303 reporting, but our 302 matters emanate out of that. What we further had was the process that National Treasury, in terms of the forensic reports that produced, of which nine of those reports were referred to DPSA for disciplinary matters, and it relates about the fraud and corruption within those reports. And then we have the bulk of the 27 reports were provided to the SAPS, to the ACTP for criminal matters, for the criminal investigation. Of which we gave the breakdown of the that resulted in 59 cases slash inquiries being opened, of which 13 are in the court process. Our 13 have been closed, no crimes were detected, and 13 of them the investigations are ongoing, but National Treasury will further elaborate on these three different these or the three different streams that we have checked. On the issue of the values relating to the individual and feasible sensitive Madam Chair, and we wouldn't, because those are matters that would be decided by court. And therefore, why speaking, because those are the tender values, does not suggest that those values, the entire value is criminally.
Too far than what we are seeing in the books of the court. Then on that basis, as early as 4:30, the Office of Attorney General downloaded all the cases in the past from 2008 until 2011, August, to have an idea of where are the problems here, which departments are overspending, why the money is disappearing but it is reflected in the past. So to that extent, Treasury started early in trying to do the analysis of what was happening in the payment. Hence, at the end of it, of analysis, that's where we came out to say the most spending departments are reflected behind. Hence, we selected the intervention group by because we're seeing this management. And then secondly, Treasury did a second analysis to say in each of those departments, first, which one are too much overspending beyond their PLG account, and who are doing online FNB banking straight internet without recording anything on bank, they generalize later, if not in the correct financial year. So those were the problems. Then, secondly, we look at saying, why after all these overdrafts appear in the FNB account, there are many service providers that claim not to have been paid by the informal, but at the same time, they are overdrafted. So that was also what informed Treasury to say what to look at. So at that time, there was no proclamation of SIU. The proclamation of SIU came in 2012 late, when Treasury was already in advance with its two forensic firms, which has got tools to interrogate and match up information so that it can be able to understand where these are in the report. Hence now, after the look that we analyze to say which are the service providers that are highly paid by this department, what are they paid for? And then understand that there were also litigation. Certain service providers were saying we want our money, we're going to court, we have not been paid. Therefore, Treasury said my unit must prioritize those ones that are in litigation so that we can get to understand what are they claiming not going to pay. An example, payment, wanted 95 million. He said he has provided 81,000 licenses for software in the form, and they are already succumbing to the demand to pay. So we have this litigation that will come in. That was not waiting for any proclamation of SIU. Treasury had to do investigation. That is called forensic investigation, not criminal investigation. We were trying to understand who has done wrong, who has been paid what is not supposed to pay, what do we say to court this criminal litigation they want to pay. So we had to develop 27 forensic reports immediately, which must be used for arbitration, which must be used to defend in the court, because these people were claiming. That's where we went 100% successful in defending any case that was made against the former from any service provider that was claiming not to have been paid. So those reports were not only for criminal investigation. They were also coming to prevent further litigation and make sure things are running okay. So that is why now, when you come to this table, you get a National Treasury report with DCP. Therefore, it must be clear by the time the proclamation of SIU was coming in, Treasury had already done about 27 projects. So SIU had to come in, they did a desktop just to do the secondary part of cleaning up by checking who are the officials who have got a personal number that is called link of a bank account to bank. It means payments are made in bank. When you see that bank account in bank, it links to somebody who is an official state. So that is totally different. So hence, they come up with 302 cases out of a desktop mentioned. not out of any detailed investigation, not even going to check whether this person is working or not working. Because when you are registered in PEPFAR, it doesn't matter whether you were 10 years ago in that particular department. PEPFAR remains forever till you die. Therefore, should there be any business that you are doing, it will always say you are the state official. Hence, you see the whistleblower. Then, second, if you are a head of department, you are a DG, you are a senior member of management in any state department, you will always have the PEPFAR. But they are public entities. Think of ESCOM and other public entities. By virtue of being in that position, you become a director in those public entities. Hence, when the matching of PEPFAR is done, it will pull all the initial bills, the DGs, as a conflict of interest. Not that they have received any money, but because they are seen to be doing business with the state. So that is why you see the big nature of withdrawal. Because after matching, you have to verify, is this person still in the department? What did he get? Then you must understand that certain people, professionals in the department, they serve in certain boards by virtue of their professional qualification. Then they become board members. But in terms of Section 8 of Public Service Act, they should be approved by the executive authority, the minister, and that department. Should they be approved, they have not committed any crime. Therefore, if the matching happens, their person will always be picked. The bus will be seen that that person was seen. Then they are withdrawn. Hence, you are seeing a big number of withdrawals. Because 303 was the death stop. Then the further investigation that we told by SIU is that because now you have to go and verify in each and every department, is this official really working yet? Is this a bank account? That is why now they refer to the department to say, this is your liberty. Verify for us. That's what it is in the further investigation. It has not been decided that they were crime. 40 people were found. That's why we reported in the past. That's why we reported 40 instead of 302. But we first must come back here and explain this 302 because it will cause the confusion if we don't talk about it. So that is the reason. Then the second thing that I want to talk about fraud. When we are saying that one is very critical. There is no official of our someone from the bank that is involved. It's not a criminal offense where people are stealing the bank to assist them. The department, the five we have mentioned, we found that when we are trying to understand why the FSP is highly withdrawn, yet in the past, which is the cash flow of the department, this amount does not appear today. That is a long process. In the sense that, in the past, the structure of funds and the analysis is not the same as the way it is structured in the LMP books. So we had to get tools and samples to download all information from all payments that were made in the FNP by the whole process and match them against what is in the bank and see what is in the bank and not in the bank. So that's when we were told that, especially in the premier's office, they said they don't waste their time to go through, but sometimes when they make payments, they do an online FNP bank because they are in sometimes emergency or urgent. So they will come back and generalize in the past as to what they will say. So that is where we found a lot of money that the FNP online internet bank was used in the book. But when treasurer came, that was cancelled immediately and all was centralized back so that if you are making payment, it must go through the cash of the department to record what you are paying for and have a credit certificate before it can go from Ibrahim. So has the National Treasury Office of Accountant General now, is this trying all the list of payments that we found in the FNC? Where have they been generalized back? And where is the supporting documentation? Because they were never registered in such place. And as a result, the impact is that if they are generalized in the correct financial year, they will show as if they are not overspending. Only to find that in the bank, the money is finished, but in the books, the money shows that it's less. So it has nothing to do with the bank accounting. But what was wrong, we cannot find. Who was online? This is in Congo, without treasury, to do online banking, where you make a payment in the bank, but you don't show it what you will make. But we are working on that to analyze that information to the extent that, in that case, it didn't talk only to the five departments, because when you can go to the bank and match, you just capture everything that ends up not to be in the department. So that's what it means. It's not a bank doing fraud in the book, but we don't know how far possible assisted. And then, yes, the issue of follow up on the issues of registration. I think my colleague from DPSA will tell the problem that the legislation is about the framework and everything. They make us not to do as much as we can go ever. In the sense that in public service act, you cannot take a DC to someone who is no more in the employ of the state. The DC is for that. But when you have had something wrong with the state, it's criminal. Doesn't care whether you have jumped out or you are in, you will still be taken to court, civil recovery. But what becomes the problem is when somebody is jumped. But in terms of Section 32 of Public Service Act, that is what the Treasury is doing. Should you leave that department before the conclusion of the DC, the head of the department is responsible to DC you to ask that particular head of department in the department when you have money to continue with the DC. That is what the legislation says. Therefore, the problem we are having, because they know such a thing, what they do, they are taken back into government as consultants. When they are consultants, they are paid through us because they provide invoices of our state work. Therefore, they will never be better. Therefore, they are not public. They are not public sector employees. Hence, we are unable to pick up because there will be directors of companies that are providing services to the state with invoices that you will have to go to the Cyprus, CIBC to get to know who the directors are, which means it's not easy at the time of payment to understand whether this person was an employee of that and that ran away. So you will not meet the difficulty. Local government is not concerned. So when people jump from provincial and national, you will find them in the local government because you can never think they have no person in the local government. So those are issues that are one of that needs to be addressed by the legislation. Despite how this is done, with the assistance of DPSA taking a lead as to how we make sure all employees of government are taken into consideration.
I know.
To most of the questions.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I think that this is what we are trying to do
admin management bit that is before cabinet now. We're just trying to make sure that we cascade what we have at national information government to local government, which is a problem. I think members will recall that when we introduced the system speed at the time, we made sure that a person who works in local government can't even join another municipality. If there is a case pending, must be able to deal with that. But at this point in time, a person can move from local to national without being detected. And of course, local government is a fee on its own, which is independent, although they are submitted. And it's an issue that we're trying to address now. Hopefully, if the bill is passed, I suppose you're going back to cabinet again the other way. So I hope that that will be addressed. But at this point in time, it's very difficult. And I must indicate that municipalities are employers in their own right. They've got different systems. What they have in the city of Cape Town is not what they have in the municipality of Durban. So it's going to be very difficult for them to detect exactly what's happening. So I think that's the problem that we will have to deal with as we try to come up with integration for the service. I think the other issue too is with regards to separation of RAPs, conflict of interest and corruption. I think the government has decided to make it very clear that those people who do remunerative work outside of public service, that those cases are construed as misconduct cases, not corruption. And that's why we expect people to seek permission of the executive authority in a particular department for them to be able to do that. That's not corruption, but want people to comply. It's a problem that you have across public service. And the reports that were submitted show that certain people do business, but they do not actually declare. The second one on the issue of the conflict of interest, it's a very, very complicated matter, which is also an issue that we are trying to deal with in terms of in the public service bill. What is it that can be declared? Certain people do invest because they've got interest in companies, of course. They are responsible investors. How do we deal with those issues moving forward? But I think the bill will address some of those issues. But there are areas that really are regulated in the legislation as has been reported that people need to declare. We want to introduce e-disclosure next year so that everybody is able to disclose on the system across two spheres of government, and the system that we're putting in place will link us up to other systems. If you've got 20 cars, we have got work that we cannot explain, but we have to detect that on the system. This one we'll be doing next year to make sure that we deal with the issue of conflict of interest. Public servants must inform us as a state how much do they have in their banks and the property, the value of the property that they have. So those are some of the things that we'll be dealing with moving forward. But the issue of corruption, lastly, this one is a dicey one. That's why we're trying to come up with anti-corruption bureau, as the PSA, just to deal with cases of corruption, but in the form of a misconduct, because there are those cases that you must deal with in the workplace. But to deal with criminal cases, those must be addressed by the law enforcement agency. So there should be that separation, because more often than not, we find that people confuse these processes. And the work that we actually do is focus more on the role that must be played by the institutions of government rather than the law enforcement agencies. I thought I should clarify that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, finally, Chairperson, what will can say that the recovery on the process. And then one major case that was done is the cost of when we presented the 900 million in a tender. So the forensic reports were more comprehensive and also for criminal reform. So those are the benefits that we are having. Then during the DC, civil recovery will happen. During the criminal also, civil recovery will happen. The asset for the challenges of is part of the team. They are already attaching. You understand more than that from that has been arrested. Certain things have been attached.
Thanks a lot, Julia. Let me allow Honorable Jacobs to respond to his topic. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Oh.
So only one clarity, because I requested you to know whether in your investigation or findings any link between the members of the bank and these people, because most of the time there is collaboration between the two.
Okay, thank you, Honorable member. That will be known. Only when it is a criminal investigation, because at this point in time, we are matching to find out which department doesn't have a document of payment that has gone through the bank, but then we will have to get to know, because we have to know of the bank as to who actually is that EFT. We know the name, but if we don't get the document to support that, that's when we will take it to the home for them to do the criminal investigation and find how much the banks are linked to that. But at this point in time, they have accepted that they were not doing the general recognized accounting practice properly by going through the right cash book, because they were always in the house, they will generalize later. So that is what was happening.
Take a 5-minute break so that we can allow the health department to do. Yeah.